What do we do with the temper tantrum? Should we even take it on? Do some children have temper tantrums and others don't? Temper tantrums are really impulse control. And if my child wins with a temper tantrum, why would they not grow up to be an adult having temper tantrums?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, and I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, talking about those 30 things, the imperative things that we have to teach our children in order for them to be God-fearing, employable, and marriageable adults. And we've talked already about a couple of them, the motivation of our parenting, what's the foundation of our life. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we talked about the power of no and how that can really help, well, the kids, but also us when we learn the power of no in our own lives to be able to obey God, do what is right, and reap the blessings of that.
Those are the two basic essentials that everything launches off of. The why to life, and everybody has a why. Some people would call that their philosophy of life. What makes me tick? Why do I exist? The why to life being a faith in Jesus Christ, because that's where my answers are. And by the way, he created me and molded me and knows the plans he has for me. But it's not just the why, it's more than the why. It's now having the ability to follow God and not get distracted and not get tempted. That's the ability to learn that no means no. So a parent giving their child a faith in Christ and a parent having their no mean no, you give the child a tremendous power. And ironically, it's not just the power that they have inside of them to make their no mean no, but it's the power to unleash the power of God inside them to get to the place they're supposed to be in life. Mm-hmm. One of the areas that then we have to take on in helping our child as we're looking at really the walls of the house and one of the cracks in the walls of a house, we talked about the foundation being faith, the walls making your no mean no. And one of the cracks in the walls is temper tantrums or impulse control, where you just see children. And it's one thing to see children do it. It's one thing to see a 2 and 3 year old fall on the floor and fall apart. And they're supposed to do that. Let me say that. That's in their DNA. They're supposed to fall on the floor. Yeah, fall apart. But what needs to happen is we need to not let them remain 2 and 3 year olds, because you see adults out there having temper tantrums and you see road rage. And you see adults just losing it with people. And you see teenagers falling apart over absolutely ridiculous things that happen. That's a loss of impulse control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being slow to speak and slow to get angry and quick to listen and dealing with all these things. And God acknowledged when he said, be angry, but sin not. I think that's in Ephesians. I ought to know exactly where that is, actually. But be angry and sin not. Acknowledges that there will be times in life where our buttons are pushed. But, wow, have impulse control. That's dealing with the child's temper tantrums when they're growing up.
And, you know, kids mirror a lot of what us parents do at the house. I mean, if we explode for things that annoy us, if we have potty mouths, boy, you think your kids, and then you punish your kids for saying a bad word, it's like, no, it's just not going to connect the dots for them. They're not going to really believe you because look what you're doing. But even just reactions to you being frustrated at them. I think my mom has this story she tells everybody about, and I used to talk a lot growing up and still do, hence my career. But my mom said I was kind of tugging on her shirt for something for a long time while she was talking to another lady at church. And she turned around and I guess yelled at me, stop it, Ruthie, I'm talking to someone, stop. You know, and evidently I must have put some kind of face and walked away. I don't even remember it. But my mom just was crushed because of that. And she said she came back and apologized to me and all that. And that was just a reminder for her that, you know, I'm just a kid. What else was she supposed to expect? Now, I don't remember that. But I think it was a lesson that she learned, and I am learning it still too, that how we react as parents are going to be mirrored by our children, and our reactions are also damaging them if we don't control our impulses.
I have to help my children learn that they will not get what they want from temper tantrums. There are things you want in life. You will not get them. You will not win them. You will not intimidate them or me into getting them. But when a child throws a temper tantrum in the grocery store and mom gets them the cereal they want, gets them the cookies they want, gets them the silly bands they want, gets them the whatever they want, when a child throws a temper tantrum in the grocery store, and just to avoid the problem, just to avoid the embarrassment, the child begins to realize this is a way to get what I want. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two things about this impulse control and temper tantrum. One is, I don't think anyone initially does it to get what they want. I think they initially do it because they're immature and they aren't yet learning to control this impulse or this urge to explode over disappointment. But after a period of time, you learn to do it to get what you want because you get what you want by doing it. Mm-hmm. And so for a parent, to say this is obnoxious behavior or this is unacceptable behavior, or my child's not going to be able to grow up and be disappointed by his or her boss and walk out slamming the door. Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable behavior. And choosing to help our children deal with impulse control will not only help them grow up and be mature and may save their life, and may save a job and may save relationships.
Who knows?
Yeah. But it's helping them be in control of them rather than circumstances controlling them, rather than disappointment controlling them. It's a discipline. Impulse control is a discipline. And it starts with temper tantrums. And if you do a temper tantrum, if your children, and they will, do temper tantrums, and you cave in, then everybody loses because you are encouraging that child. This is how you get what you want. Mm-hmm. Throw yourself on the floor and yell and scream.
And then who's going to copy? Are the younger siblings?
Oh,
too,
absolutely.
Or the ones, oh yeah, well that's how he got that, okay. And I've seen that even with my own stepkids, how one is turning into like the other, and I'm thinking, how is this working out? Oh, now I see it's because this one gets what he or she wants.
Oh, and yes, so, by inappropriate behavior. We have reinforced inappropriate behavior. It was interesting speaking at a seminar the other day in Hartford, Connecticut, and a lady came to the side and asked me, can I ask you a question during the break? And I said, yes. And she said, you know, you talk about children being different and you use the phrases barbarian and pleaser, and I have three children. Is it possible that I could have three barbarians? And I said, it's very possible. And it's very possible that your children were born, you know, a barbarian and two pleasers or whatever the combination. But the pleasers watch the barbarian get mm-hmm. what he wants and realize from learned behavior, our children are brilliant. This is how you do it. You don't get the second cookie that you want. Mm-hmm. You don't get to stay up a little later, whatever. You have this temper tantrum, and that's, we've worked out a system. The system is, I do inappropriate behavior. You're exhausted at the end of the day, or you're tired, mom, of dealing with it, or you don't know what to do here, and you say, okay, this time, but next time I mean it. No, I don't hear the next time I mean it. I have now heard this is how you get what you want. This, dealing with a temper tantrum, number one, by not giving the child what they are wanting from the temper tantrum, dealing with it properly prepares your child to stop doing a temper tantrum.
Now, we've done a week on this, and you can search for the program online at parentingtoday.org, and I remember the great example that you talked about, the lady who had the one-year-old in the grocery store and who overreacted. So she left the cart, took the one-year-old, put it back in the car and all that. Let me give you a scenario then of a friend of mine. I think her daughter's about 8 years old, has to do a class. In order to do class B, you need to do class A. So she is in both class A and B.
The daughter or the mom?
The daughter. Uh-huh. The daughter doesn't want to go to class A. Mm-hmm. Throws a hissy fit every week, somehow manages to get there. Once she's there, she's fine. But this one Saturday just goes ballistic. I don't want to go to class A. Don't want to go to class A. What do you do in that situation? You're exhausted.
I think what we don't do is we don't wait with that age. That's old enough at 8. We don't wait to wonder, is it going to happen? Not going to happen. Going to happen? Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And everybody lives on eggshells, and the child senses, okay, I own her now. And I really don't want to go. And we've developed this little game that I wouldn't call a game as an 8-year-old, but here we are. Mm-hmm. I would say, hey, tomorrow we're going to class. You know, it's Friday and we're together, and tomorrow we're going, I don't want to go to class. Okay, let's just stop right here. You are going to class, to this thing you need to do, and here's what's going to happen. If you are going to class anyway, if you throw a temper tantrum about not going to class, and let me help you know what that is. That's the yelling and the screaming that you were doing 2 weeks ago. If you throw a temper tantrum, then after the class, we're coming straight back here. You're going to sit down and you're going to write the alphabet or write me a note or write something. You're going to sit down and write some more after class. However, if you do, when it's time to go, if you behave and if you're polite and if you're nice and if we go out instead, we're going to, on the way home, stop by McDonald's and get juice for everybody or Jamba Juice, or Jamba Juice was big for us. Mm-hmm. Jamba Juice for everybody. You're choosing what your afternoon is like. Choose wisely. Now, she will not do it right the first time. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows she won't do it right the first time. I know the mom who's listening right now is saying, that's it. I'm using that. That's going to make this Saturday wonderful. It's not going to make this Saturday wonderful, mom, because I'm not a believer yet.
Right.
I'm not. I have to be a believer. It's the lady in the balcony in Kansas City years ago when I was speaking about getting into bed, getting your child out of bed first call, and if not, putting them to bed early. And she screamed from the balcony, I'll never forget this, 4 weeks. I had to put him to bed early, 4 weeks.
And how old was her child?
I don't remember. It seems like 10 or 12.
Okay.
4 weeks. And then she said why. It was a perfect statement. She said a statement that I've used forever since then. And then he became a believer. Mm. There were no spiritual implications in that whatsoever. He believed, if I do this behavior, this unacceptable behavior, there will be this consequence. If I do this acceptable behavior, there will be this privilege.
So done. How about then preteens, teenagers?
They
got to do
Same thing. You know, when you pull up on the property at Sheridan House in the afternoon, as you do when you come here, you see a bunch of boys playing racquetball, a bunch of boys playing basketball, and a bunch of boys cutting grass and weeding things and washing windows. Mm-hmm. It was all, how was your school day today? And we look at the school report. We get a report from every, you know, a check sheet that has every teacher from every class. And if the child loses it, I don't care what the excuse is, the CIA confiscated it, a hawk ate it, whatever it is, you come home without that. That's your pay stub. Come home with that school report. If not, and checked off that you were, the effort, I don't care about grades, effort, and turn your homework in, then you have a great afternoon. You don't, then you actually end up doing a little bit of more work this afternoon.
So have like a list of chores then, always, for things to do just in case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always windows to be washed at every house, right? You know, or a floor to be mopped, or a garage to be swept out. My daughter, Tori, I don't know how old she was, I wish she was here to ask, painted the entire inside of the garage.
What?
Painted one Saturday. I emptied the garage out, she painted the entire, now I was out there with her to make sure we just painted the walls, but she painted the entire inside of the garage. Yeah, and it was a consequence for something that she just wasn't getting. And so, but she got it, and she's awesome, and she's phenomenal today. The job is, I want to put choices in their hands. Mm-hmm. And when they lose it here, I want to teach them, yes, slow to speak, slow to get angry, quick to listen. That's called impulse control. And James, you know, you hear people talk about the early church, the first church, must have been a perfect church. Not if Pastor James had to write some of the things he had to write.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow to speak, slow to get angry, quick to listen. Mm-hmm. So I want to teach that to my children. That's personal control. It starts with that, you know, 15, 18-month-old, 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old throwing themselves on the ground. But they should be done with throwing themselves on the ground by 3. If they're not done by 3 and they're continuing to fall apart, it's because there's been no consistent plan. Mm-hmm. And in that consistent plan, we want to help them realize you don't have to do this. Every time you do this unacceptable behavior, this is this consequence when you don't. So it's Friday. You know we're going, honey, tomorrow to go do this class that you have to do. You have choices. I am cheering for you to make the right choice. Mm-hmm. If you don't make the right choice, here's the consequence. Now, let me make sure we know this. You're going to class anyway. Mm-hmm. So think and choose wisely. You're going to class anyway. After class, you could be doing a little work, or after class, we could be getting Jamba Juice. Choose wisely. I don't want to make all their decisions for them. I want to raise a decision maker. And one of the most challenging decisions for children, teens, and adults is impulse control. And it starts with the temper tantrum, but it branches off big from the temper tantrum to walking through a mall and seeing a watch I didn't need, but now I think I need it. It's an awesome watch. I should have it. I want it. I have to have it. I have plastic in my pocket. That's impulse control and the discipline to control your impulses. So this is huge. And I want to send my child out the door, not slamming doors. I want to send my child out the door, not punching things. I want, when they leave my house, I want them to have impulse control.
And there's always plenty of opportunities to be teaching this when you have siblings around, a little sibling rivalry here and there.
Yeah.
If you do that again, this is what's going to happen, and removing yourself as the parent from the consequences.
I want them to be having to make personal internal decisions. And I want to let them know what the consequences are beforehand.
Hey, so that's what takes a little work, though, is having to think through everything.
Well, let's just take what you took. Repetitive behavior. Every evening, you got siblings at home, something's going on. And you know, so why are we doing this? And we even use a phrase, how many times do I have to tell you? I guess until you do something, Mom, you have to tell me. And so I want to sit them down and say, hey, this is happening, and here's the consequence. And when you hear something start to happen, you go in the room and say, here's your warning, choose wisely. Leave the room. It's called impulse control. And you know, parents are thinking now, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. No, this has nothing to do with the behavior. It has nothing to do with temper tantrums. It has nothing to do with sibling rivalry. It has everything to do with a child learning impulse control and to walk away rather than stay there and get in trouble, stay there and make a mistake, stay there and do and say something I shouldn't do. Everybody should be slow to speak, slow to get angry, and quick to listen. If I have siblings who are having problems with impulse control concerning each other, I would make that the verse of the week, and we would be talking about it. I want to teach my child impulse control.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. We're going down a list of 30 things every parent must train their child in order for them to be marriageable and employable and just good, responsible, self-controlled adults. And if you want to hear already number 1, 2, or 3, you can hear them online at parentingtoday.org, where you can even find entire weeks that we've spent going through each one of these points. But we're summarizing them in this series of the 30 things. Again, you can listen to them online online at parentingtoday.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the Boys Campus and Girls Campus, and the counseling and the resources, there's a lot of stuff going on. You can also support the ministry online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. Again, it's shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us again on Monday for more of this list of the 30 things every parent must train their child here on Parenting Today.